I'm starting a new series today, and it's going to be called, and I think I'm going to preach it all the way through the end of this year, because I'm going to really, I want to really get people prepared for 2023. So I've entitled it, "It's Time for Change." Can you say amen? It's time for change. It's time for change. Time for a change for the better. Can you say amen? You know, I was listening, you know, my wife preached last week, and she was awesome. She really was tearing it up, you know, but she said something, and I caught it. You know, see, some things are taught, but other things are caught. You know what I'm saying? And you could get so caught up and, you know, and just kind of listening that you're not catching anything. You know, you want to catch something so you can take it away with you. Can you say amen? And she gave a quote, and it was from John C. Maxwell. I'll repeat it. And she said, the difference between where we are and where we want to be is created by the things or the changes that we're willing to make in our lives. I said, man, that's exactly right. I'll say it again. The difference between where we are and where we want to be is created by the change or the changes that we're willing to make in our lives. And, you know, after the service, you know, God spoke to me as she was preaching, and this is what he said to me as she was ministering. He said, you tell the people you should be thinking right now what you're going to do different to make 2023 a better year than 2022 was. Should be thinking about that right now. This should not happen, you know, once 2023 get here. You should be thinking right now, what changes do I need to make in my life in order to make this year better, this upcoming year a better year? And, you know, he said, you know, did you have a good 22? Then that's great, you know. But even if you had a good 22, what can you do to make 2023 even better? See, some people didn't have a good 22. So there's a lot of change that needs to be made. Some people may have had a good 2022, but there's still some changes that can be made to make it even better. Can you say amen? You know, I was thinking about something, you know. I did a wedding last night. Yeah, I did a wedding last night, you know. It was a guy, you know, that I went to high school with. And he just found me on Facebook, you know. It's the weirdest, wildest thing, you know. He sent me a message on Facebook and asked me to do his wedding, you know. And so I'm like, you know, okay. You don't know him. I said, yeah, who? My mom says, who? Like, you don't know him. But the bottom line is, he asked me, you know. So I said, okay, you know, I'll do it. This was like maybe 6 months ago, you know. So it came up, you know, and last night I did it. So when I sat down with them, or rather when I started doing the wedding, you know, I was praying. I'm like, okay, God, you know, what can I say? You know, I don't want to have some old recycled message. You know, I want to say something that has, you know, some validity, some weight, you know, something that will help them with their marriage, you know. And so as I was talking, you know, I said to them, whatever you neglect will wind up, you know, falling apart in your life. Anything you neglect will fall apart in your life. I don't care what it is, anything. Anything you neglect will fall apart. You know, if you neglect your marriage, it'll fall apart. If you neglect a relationship, it'll fall apart. If you neglect your house, it'll fall apart. whatever you neglect, if you're negligent on your job, it'll fall apart and you'll lose it. You know, whatever you neglect, it'll fall apart on you. And I said, you know, I gave him this quote, and I'll read it to you. And it was from Amy Grant. It said, the more you invest into your marriage, the more valuable it'll become. I said, man, that's beautiful. But it's so true. The more you invest. And then I thought about that. I said, you know, whatever you want to have increase in, you'll make an investment in. You know, the only purpose for making investments is because you want increase. If you put some money in the market, you don't put it in there to lose it. You may lose it because you didn't invest wisely, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was so you can get an increase, right? You wanted it to grow. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to grow in your life or increase in your life, you'll make investments in. You know, I have a list of things that I want to do, or that I want to that I do or want to do to my house every single year. I know what I want to do, right? So this year, you know, we replace the front stairs of the porch and then the back stairs because they were falling apart. You know, so we got them built brand new. You know, they're very beautiful now. Look awesome, right? And then, you know, we have a pergola, so I put like this cover over the pergola so we can sit outside, you know, when it rains and stuff like that, and it'd be beautiful, hang out, you know. And so, you know, just little things, right? So I'm starting to think about next year. What do I want to do to the house next year? So I said, okay, I want to replace the driveway. You know, the repave it. Because, you know, I started seeing that in certain areas, it started having these little potholes in it. You know, like a street, you know? Like, you know, it'll have little potholes and you got to repave it, right? So I saw something that it blew my mind. It blew my mind. You know, sometimes you could go on Facebook and you got to dig through the crap. But you'll find some, if you keep looking, you find something that's pretty cool, you know? So I found that they have heated driveways. I said, my God, man, heated driveways. So I'm thinking about replacing it, you know. So I'm thinking, man, you know, this would be a great time, you know. So it's like it heats up so that if it snows, it melts the snow. I said, my God, man. I said, now that's the ultimate game changer, man. I said, I'm going for it, you know. So I start doing a little, so I'm starting to do my research now. Check it out, you know, to see. It says it melts like 2 inches an hour or something like that, you know. So you turn that thing on, you know, when it starts snowing, man, they be melting up. No, I hate shoveling snow. Man, I tell you, when I was a kid, I loved snow because I play in it. When I start having to shovel it, I start, like my wife, she says, oh, I just love the snow. I said, that's because you ain't got to shovel it. Said, now, if you had to shovel it, you wouldn't love it. She sits out of the house with a cup of cocoa, you know, open the window, watch me outside shoveling it. Oh, I just love it. I'm like, I'd be so mad. Every time she say it, it make me so mad. So I said, my God, man, a heated driveway. I said, that is the game changer, you know. So I started doing my research. But you know what? See, it's an investment. It's not just functional, because it's going to be great for me, but it also increases the value of the house. It's an investment. This year we put solar panels on the roof. And that, and immediately it increased the house's by 4 to 5%. You know what I'm saying? And it saved me on my electric bill. So, I mean, you know, but whatever, I'm saying this because whatever you want increase in, you got to be willing to make an investment in it. You got to make some updates. You got to make some changes, some upgrades. You just can't leave the house. Like this can't leave it. If you walk away from the house and you don't touch it for a while, it'll fall apart. And what once was beautiful will be a mess. You can't just leave it. You know, you have to constantly, like when you own the house, man, you constantly got to be checking things out to make sure things are working properly. And if you do that with a house, what about your life? You just think you could just leave your life, you know, just let it go? You let your life go if you want to. It'll fall apart on you. And one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, wow, how did I get here? How did everything fall apart? Your finances, you leave them to themselves. It'll fall apart. All right, you guys are looking at me like I'm strange, but I'm telling you right now, if you want, you know, change in your life, you got to be willing to make the right changes and make those right investments so that you can get increase. Amen. So this is what I put here. You change your thoughts, change your words, change your actions, then your life will change. Say that again. People should be writing this down. Change your thoughts, because you can't be thinking crazy and get increase, right? You can't be thinking failure thoughts and be a success. It don't happen like that. You got to think right. You know, whatever you'll begin to start manifesting those things that you start thinking about. So you got to change your thoughts. If you change your thoughts, your words will change. If you stop thinking crazy, you'll stop talking crazy. Because you will create the world that you live in through your words. You know, the Bible says that we understand by faith that the world was framed by the word of God. The world was built by the word of God. And see, we were made in his likeness and in his image. So just like he created the world by his spoken word, we will create our world by our spoken word. So if you're not, that's why your thoughts are so important, because your words are a product of your thoughts. Whatever you're thinking on, that's what you're going to be speaking. You know, it's very easy to tell what somebody's been thinking if you listen to them long enough. Because they start talking defeat, you know, they start talking fear. They start talking about how they can't make it, you know, and stuff like that. And how, you know, then you know what they've been thinking about. That's been on their mind, and now it's being released through their words. And then those words are creating a world for you to live in. You know, when Daniel was, he was praying and fasting 21 days, you know, and the Bible says that after 21 days, the angel came. You know, the angel Gabriel came to him, and he tells him, you know, you're a man greatly beloved, all this stuff. And he says, look, he says, the first day you begin to pray, the very first day, he says, I was released. But then he had opposition in the heavenlies. There were demonic forces trying to keep him back. And he says, and they withstood me for 21 days. He says, but now I'm come for your words. See, here he is fighting to get through. And that's why many people don't realize that's why it takes a long time oftentimes for prayers to come through, because there's opposition that you don't see. You can't see, your eyes are not open to the spirit world, but if it was, you see all kinds of angels and everything around you and demonic forces, but your eyes are not open to that. But there's a battle going on. He says, they withstood me for 21 days. And he says, and the archangel Michael had to come help me. Because the devil was trying to stop him from getting through. And finally, he's able to break through. And he says, I've come for your words. See, you were saying something, and it got God's attention. And that's why I'm here. Amen. I had to fight to get through. But I come for your words. Now, some of you, the devil shows up at your door, and you're like, what you doing here, Mr. Devil? He says, I come for your words. You know, you said you'll never make it. I'm here to make sure you never don't, never do. Right. You know, you said you were a loser. You know, I'm here to make sure that you lose at everything you do. Right. you here to say you're ready to give up. You know, I'm here to encourage you to give up. See, you know, Thursday night, right, we had Pastor Miller was with us. She was great, right? But she said something that was really powerful. She said, the spirit world is voice activated. That's so true. That was powerful. But that's exactly right. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Everything in the spirit is voice activated. You know, the angels of God are his messengers. And the Bible says they hearken, or they are moved by the, or respond to the voice of God's word. So what's the voice of God's word? Is that the voice of God's word, or is that his word? We are the voice of God's word. You don't put your Bible like this and hear it talking to you. You're the voice. You give the word of God a voice. And when you give the word of God a voice, then angels respond to it. They respond to the voice of God's word. So when they hear the word of God, they got to respond. Now, the devil will respond, too. You start telling him some things he wants to hear. He'll respond. But he'll be coming with a package that you don't want. All right, I'm not even really in my message right now. But you got to change your thoughts. Then you'll change your words. And then you have to change your actions. The things that you do have to change. You want change in your life? Whatever you're doing that is causing destruction, you got to stop it. If you want to change in your finances, you're not going to get it by buying everything that your little beady eyes want. That's not going to cause change in your finances. It'll cause you to be in more poverty. That's the only change you'll get. That's the only thing that happened. You have to make a decision. What do I want more? See, people have made a decision. See, because people like immediate gratification, I want that now. They don't want to wait for it. And because they don't want to wait for it, they'll either overspend or they'll use a credit card and get in debt trying to get something that they want now. Instead of waiting for it and say, you know what, I'm going to save up for it. You know, or I'm going to get my finances in order first. You know, they'll just buy it now. And then when they're living in poverty, they don't understand why. See, again, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever change you want, you have to figure out, what am I doing that is causing destruction? All right, let me give you some scriptures. You guys looking at me like I'm crazy. I got to take this off because I'm frying up here. Jesus. Woo, either that or I'm turning the air conditioner up. All right, so let me give you scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And Galatians 6, 7 through 9, it says there, be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, God will not be made a fool of. Don't deceive yourself into believing that you can outsmart God. You're not smart enough to outsmart God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever a man soweth, that and only that shall he reap. So if you begin to, you know, if you begin to sow, it doesn't matter whatever you decide to sow. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you want apples and you start sowing apple seed, you're going to reap it. You can't sow an apple and reap an orange. It don't work that way. Whatever a man soweth, that and only that shall he also reap. So you have to decide what type of seed are you sowing. And if you're sowing that seed, is that the type of harvest that you want to receive? Because it doesn't matter what the seed is. If you, whatever you do in life, through word or action, you're sowing a seed. Whatever words you speak, whatever actions you make, you're sowing. So you have to make a determination. Is that the harvest that I want to receive? Right? I'm sowing this seed by my words, by my actions. Do I want this harvest? Is this the harvest that I want? If it is the harvest, then keep sowing those seeds. But if it's not, you got to find out what seed you need to sow in order to get the harvest that you want. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. And it goes on to say, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, which is the process of decay. So anything that you do in the flesh, the only thing it will do, anything birthed of the flesh will eventually rot and stink. Anything. And he says, so if you sow to your flesh, eventually whatever you're doing is going to rot is going to die and it's going to stink. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The only thing that's eternal is the Spirit. So are you sowing fleshly seeds or are you sowing seeds in the Spirit? Because if they're of the flesh, eventually, it may feel good for a little while, but eventually it's gonna die, it's gonna rot, and it's gonna stink. All right, not getting too many happy faces. But I'm telling you right now, this is God. The only thing that's everlasting is anything that you sow to the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing, right? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So eventually, whatever seeds you've been sowing are gonna pop up. Just like a garden, right? Here you are, you're sowing seeds, you know, stuff like that. You watering it. Next thing you know, eventually, flowers come up, right? That's the same thing with your life. You sow a seed today. Now, you don't see it today. But give a little time. And that's why I said, whatever you neglect will fall apart on you. It don't fall apart. It's not going to fall apart today. But, you know, here a year goes by. 2 years ago, next thing your life's in shambles. And you're like, how did I get here? You sold for that. That's how you got there. Oh, you know, I'm here because the devil is so mean and evil. No. You're here because you sold for it. One day you made a decision that you would never make it. The devil talked you into believing it and you start sowing seeds. And then all of the failure in your life is a result of that. And then on the other side, somebody decided, I'm going to be a success. I'm going to do well in life. I'm going to make it. And they started sowing seeds for that. And it didn't happen that day. It didn't happen in a week, 2 weeks. You know, but track their life. As they begin to progress, little by little, they start success. Success. The next thing you know, they're successful. Like, wow, how'd you get here? I sold for it. You won't see somebody successful that is walking around talking about, I'm never going to make it. You won't see that. I've never met a successful person that told me they would never make it. I've never seen that. They're all highly confident in themselves. They know they're going to do well. They know if they try something, it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? I've never met somebody that was successful that says, I just don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. I've never seen that. They made a decision. I'm going to succeed. And even if they fail, they're like, I'm still going to succeed. I've seen people, man, they fail like 1,000 times. They keep on trying because they've decided I'm going to succeed. What they say, you know, Edison, he failed 9,999 times at making the incandescent, or, you know, the filament for the incandescent light bulb. But a 10,000th time, he created it. Because he made a decision. I'm going to create this thing. I'm going to make this thing. It's going to work. And he kept trying. You imagine failing 9,000 and still going? Most people can't even try two times before they give up. They're done. The man ain't work. You get into marriages with escape plans. You know, or if it don't work out, I'll just get a divorce. You know, like, you just set yourself up for failure. You're just setting yourself up for failure. You know, when I got into marriage, I said, we're going to be in this thing no matter what. I'm getting married one time. That's it. That's it. And I said, I'm not leaving. You have to leave. I'm not going nowhere. Because I'm going to be like Jesus. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't sleeping on no couch. If you sleep next to you, you'd be mad. That's all. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. You know what I'm saying? But you got to, when you go into something, you have to make a decision. You know, I'm here for this thing. You know, I listened to somebody, I think it was either Eddie Murphy. I think it was Eddie Murphy. He said, you know, did you have a plan B, you know, for if your comedy didn't work out? He said, no. I had no plan B. He said, when you make a plan B, what you're saying is plan A gonna fail. That was it. That was my decision. I was gonna do it. No matter what, I was gonna do it. All right, I don't know. Are you getting something out of this today? Oh, yeah. All right, you know, let me just kind of reel this thing in a little bit. So, you know, I really, you know, today I just wanted to talk to you guys about the process of change. And the bottom line is this. Change doesn't happen in your life just because you want it to. Also, change doesn't happen in your life just because God loves you. Because, you know, there's many people right now like, oh, you know, one day God's just going to, he's going to change everything. No, he's not just going to change everything. Things will start changing when you start to make a decision that you're going to change something. And then God will help you in that change. But he's not going to make all of the changes for you. It's like saying, you know, why don't you brush your teeth? Well, you know, I'm waiting on God. But God going to brush your teeth for you? No, like, he ain't going to brush your teeth for you. Not going to do for you what you could do for yourself. God will only get involved once you've gone to the point where you can't go anymore, and then he'll help you with the part that you can't do. And I put here, change will only happen when you decide the change needs to come, and then you begin to do something about it. You know, as many people have been waiting for change in their life, but they're in the same place that they were 10 years ago. I'm waiting on God. You know, 10 years going by, I'm waiting on God. Ain't did nothing different. Everything the same. Didn't change nothing. I'm just waiting on God, you know. It don't work like that. The reason why there's no change is because they haven't done anything to cause a change. And as we all know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Don't work like that. You got to change what you're doing if you want something different. So whatever you're doing is not working. Stop doing it. Why are you doing something that's not working? Change it. Something not working in your life is not going to start working just because you keep doing it. Eventually, it's going to work. I just got to keep doing it. Look. And I put here, it's time for you to figure out what you're doing wrong and start doing something different. See, every year, you know, I do an evaluation on my life. I'm like, okay, what's working well? What areas am I not happy with? You know, I was telling somebody, I said, you know what? You could be doing well in one area, and then the other area is just not good. You know, you can be doing well financially, but your relationship's falling apart. You do well in your relationship, but your finances are falling apart. It's like, what you got to think about, what area am I succeeding in? Okay, am I doing well there? I got to continue that, right? And maybe add something to it to make it better. And what area am I failing in? What area am I lacking in? And then once I pinpoint that, then I have to determine, what do I have to do different? I'm obviously sowing the wrong seeds because I'm getting a harvest I don't want. I thought it was right, but I'm not getting what I'm looking for. So that means I'm not sowing the right seeds. So I need to figure out, what do I need to do different to reap what I'm looking to reap? You know, when God created the earth, he put the seed on the inside of everything he created. The purpose was that so that those seeds can reproduce after their own kind. He put a seed in a man so that he can create another human being through the womb of a woman. Apples have seeds. You know, we get all these crazy things now. Watermelons, they ain't got no seeds in them. What's wrong with these crazy genetic things they do to this fruit? Everything that God created got a seed on the inside of it so that it can be sown to reproduce after its own kind. So everything that you want in life, there's a seed for it. And you need to find out what that seed is. Right? If you want friends, you must show yourself friendly, the Bible says. Right? Is someone a seed? Right? You just can't, I want friends, and you're mean and nasty to everybody. Like, you know, you can't get no friends doing that. You gotta show yourself friendly. You want love, you gotta sow it. Right? Whatever you want out of life, you sow for it. You know, I was telling my spiritual daughter, you know, I said, you know, this guy, you know, he asked me to do the foreword for his book, you know, that he wrote, this pastor, you know. And you know, I was feeling like I didn't have the time. Like, I'm busy, man. I got a lot of stuff going on, you know. But, you know, I felt led by the Holy Ghost to do it, right? And God told me, you're sowing a seed. He said, because you have books. And see, what you make happen for someone else, God's going to make happen for you. You know, when I feel a little down, you know what I do? I'll call somebody that may be battling with something, and I encourage them. Know why? Because I need encouragement. I'm sowing a seed. So I can get, I need to be, and then by the time I get off encouraging them, man, I feel encouraged. I'm like, man, God, man, like that helped me. Thank you, Jesus, you know. See, stop moping around and find a way that you can sow some seeds to get what you're looking for. So, as we read that scripture, right, there's a couple of real keys that teaches us how to start the process of changing our lives. You know, first is the fact that you need to know that you will be able to only reap what you sow. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap it in harvest form. And again, that means that you're going to have to you will reap in a greater degree. See, that's the key right there. Whatever you sow, you'll always reap it in a greater degree. You never sow one seed and get one thing back. When you sow a seed, you'll always get it back in harvest form. Right. It'll always be multiplied. And that's why so many people have so much destruction in their lives, because the seeds that they sowed are destructive seeds, and they just have so much destruction because of the fact that they're getting it back in harvest form. But the thing happens on the flip side, right? If you sow the right seeds, you'll get it back in harvest form. Everything that you sow, you'll get it back into a greater degree. And that's why it's extremely important to only sow the seeds that you want to reap. Because if you don't, you'll reap something in harvest form that you don't want. With that being said, sowing the right seeds is the key to positive change. The seeds you've sown thus far has created the life that you're living in right now. Right now. Seeds that you've sown in your past. You're living right now a harvest of what you sowed in your past. A harvest. For some people, that may be a good thing. Some maybe not. And some it may be, well, you know, I'm doing all right, you know. But I could do better. But whatever, you know, so I'm saying this today because I don't want you to, you know, I hate when people think that they're in such a situation because, you know, because the devil is so, you know, he's so horrible and destructive and mean and he's doing all of these things to me, you know. I don't want you to blame the devil. I don't want you to blame God. We need to take a look at ourselves and say, okay, what did I do to get me here? Ain't nobody else's fault. What did I do that landed me here in this situation? Any bad situation that I've ever been in, I can look back at my life and see, well, I did that. Right. When I bought my first homes, I bought 2-3 family houses early. I was in my 20s, and I was rocking, right? But I made a bad decision buying this house. I was sitting, the first house I ever bought, I made a bad decision. I was sitting in that office, and things started going wrong. But I bypassed the voice of God telling me, don't do that. And I wanted it so bad that I just kept pressing forward. And because of that, that house became the money pit in my life. Man, I had to put so much money in that house. I had the most craziest tenants. It was wild, man. I had this guy that was so, this guy, man. I helped this guy out, right? He came out of prison, and my friend asked me, you know, man, can you put him up for a little bit? I said, okay. I took this guy in, put him in my third floor apartment. Nice little apartment, right? Put him in the third floor apartment. I ain't charging him a dime. I took him to the store, you know, what's that store on Springfield Avenue? The men's store? K&G. And I said, man, you got to get a job, man. I'm going to hook you up, man. I got him all kinds of clothes for him to go to, you know. And I got him, I got his waist, you know, because kids, you know, young people, they, you know, he got like a 30 waist. He got 36 pair of pants on, you know. I said, you could do that with your jeans. You don't do that with dress pants. So I got his waist measured, you know, and I hooked him up. I took care of this guy, you know. And then, man, this guy, he became a nightmare for me, man. I mean, he became a nightmare. He was throwing, I can't even really say what he did because it was so disgusting. But he was throwing stuff in the neighbor's yard. And I won't even say what he was throwing. But he was throwing stuff in the neighbor's yard. And I mean, he did all of these crazy things, man. And then now, I mean, I got to get him out of my house because he's causing all kinds of crazy problems for me. And I mean, you know, but when you're dealing with, even though he's not paying me a dime, he's still a tenant. As far as he ain't got no lease, nothing. He ain't paying me no money. I'm helping him. But he has a right, to be in my house now because I let him in. So now I got to go to court. I got to spend all of this money. I got to do all this thing to get him out of my house. And he's tearing it up. And he's tearing the neighbor's yard up. But see, all of this went down because I bypassed what God was telling me. He was telling me not to get that property. But I got it anyway. I won. I was ambitious. And I won. But it made me now at this point, you know, as I start getting older, to really analyze things before I jump on it. And really make sure that it's God before I move on anything. Because, you know, you go through a situation like that, that thing put me back at least 10 years once I got out of it. But I sowed for that. I sowed a bad decision seed, and I got a bad decision harvest. You know, so you got to, you know, we have to take ownership. See, I couldn't blame God for that. He talked to me, you know. I'm going to blame the devil because I decided to do that. He couldn't force me to do anything. He couldn't make, you know, he might have tried to influence me to do it, but he couldn't force me to do it. I made the decision, and that decision landed me where it landed me. I got a harvest of it, and I paid the price for some years, and I had to get myself back on track. I could have been a whole lot further, man. I was in my 20s, my early 20s. So God has done me well. You know, I've rebounded. You know, God has got me back together with things, and I make wiser decisions. See, some things I say are scars. That's a scar. You know what a scar is? It don't hurt anymore. But when you look at it, it reminds you. Oh, you have a scar on you like, wow, when I was 4, I, you know, or 10, I fell off my bike. You know, like you got this, it don't hurt no more. But it's a reminder. And every time I think about doing things, it's a scar, man. I look at it and be like, Man, it's a reminder not to make a decision like that again. But that's what happens in our life, right? Now it's time for us to start making a determination that we're going to sow the right seed. And so I put here, if you're not happy, if you're unhappy with your life overall, or maybe it's just something in your life, then it's time to do something different so that you're able to get a different result as we get ready to go into 2023. Don't let 2023 be another year that's like, you know, like you're going to see what happens. You have to give your life direction. See, if you don't give your life direction, then something or someone else will. You got to give your life direction. You got to make a decision that, look, this is the direction I'm going in. I'm not veering off. I'm not going to the left or to the right. This is the direction I'm going in. This is what I'm going to be focused on. These are the things, and these are the things that I'm willing to do to make sure that I have a positive outcome. These are the things that I'm willing to give up. You know, some people have negative outcomes because they got too many of the wrong people around them. Can't have positive outcomes when you got negative, you got wrong people around you. You got to get free of that, and you have to make a decision. You know I love you, but you know, in order for me to go forward, I gotta separate myself so that I can focus. And I'll pray for you. You know what I'm saying? But I cannot be in association like that with you if I want to go to that next level. What are you willing to give up that may be hindering you? See, again, whatever you want has to be greater than the thing that's holding you back. If it's not, then you're going to cling on to that thing that's holding on, that's holding you back. So you got to start making those decisions. It's important. You know, we're going, see, right in the beginning of this year, I'm sorry, I'm going to hit you. First Sunday in December, and I'm going to keep hitting you every week until we go into 2023. If you don't have a plan or have a good 2023, it's because you just allowed these messages to go in one ear and out the other, because I'm hammering it in. I'm just getting started. And I ain't even barely get started good. But I'm going to get you focused, man. You know, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to keep hitting you with these scriptures, and we're going to get into this thing for the next 4 weeks until we go right into the new year. See this thing right over here? What I want you to start doing, you see that thing right there? That little golden chest? I want you to start, you know, until we get into the new year. I want you to start writing down everything that you want to get rid of as you exit 2022. Every week, you're going to do it. I got index cards if you don't have paper. I want you to start writing that stuff down. Every week, you start doing it, and you're going to dump it in there, right? And at the end, then on the, you know, on when we have our New Year's Eve service, you know, we're gonna break the power of those things. I'm going to get my shredder, right? And we're going to shred those things as we go get ready to go into 2023. Now, I used to set things on fire, but my wife said, you can't be doing that, you know. You're trying to burn the church down, you know, so she don't let me set nothing on fire no more, but I can shred it. So that's what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Every week, we're going to do that. But we're going to have, I'm believing God. See, I hate to be cliche. You allow me to be cliche for a moment? You ready? Can I be cliche? How about a new me in 2023? I got to be cliche for a moment. But we're going to mean it. We're not just going to be messing around with this thing. We're going to set ourselves up for opportunities and breakthroughs. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to close with this one scripture right here. And then, I'm going to be hitting this every week. But we're going to close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. Chaz, you can get on that piano because I'm about ready to close. It says there, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You catch that? Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Does it say that God's going to do all the work for us? We don't have to do anything. We just have to sit back with our feet, you know, up, rocking on a chair, and God's going to change everything for us. And one day everything's going to be beautiful and awesome because God's just going to wave his hand from heaven and turn my life around. Did it say that? We are laborers together, together with God. We work together. God don't do everything for us. We work together. We do all we can do. Having done all, or having done all that the situation requires, then we can stand and we can say, I'm waiting on God. Because now I'm done. I can't do nothing else. This is beyond my reach now. Only God can intervene in this part. But God's not going to do stuff for you that you can already do. Once you've done all that you can possibly do, God will step in. We are laborers together with God. And so I want to mention this. Many of us believe that we're waiting on God to make change in our life. But again, in reality, most of us are not really waiting on God. He's waiting on us. God's sitting back saying, you know, okay, I gave you my word, gave you my spirit, gave you the name of Jesus. All right, get to work, do something. Move, step out on faith. If you do that, the word will carry you just like it did Peter on that water. Again, contrary to popular belief, God doesn't do everything for us. He doesn't just wave his hand from heaven and magically change our lives. So the bottom line is this: if you don't like your life, you're going to have to change it. And that just simply means that we have a major part to play in the condition of how our life actually turns out. You know, I've also heard somebody say, if you want something that you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. So true. I'll say it again. If you want something that you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. You know, I said this to you guys in the beginning of this year. God began to speak to me. He says, you know, if you want to go further in your life, you need more knowledge. You need more knowledge. He says, you know, you've come far. You've done well. But if you want to go further, what you have done so far, what you know right now, has gotten you to where you are. What you know and what you've done has gotten you this far. Now, if you want to go further, you're going to need to know more. Knowledge is the key to every unlocked door, to every locked door. If you get more knowledge, then you can unlock the doors that have been hindering your progress. Now, again, from all this, we can surmise that it is well within our power to change things that we don't like in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't play a big part in that change. But what it does mean is that he doesn't do it all alone. He doesn't do it without your permission, without your cooperation. Without your involvement, he just don't do it by himself. You got to get involved. We play a part. We work together. As the scripture says, we are laborers together with God. We do our part, then God will do his part. So with that being said, the question is, what do I need to do to create positive change in my life? What is the part that I need to play? Only you can answer that question. Because only you know what you want out of life. So you have to start saying, okay, first of all, these next 4 weeks before the end of it, you need to start thinking about, what do I want? What do I want changed in my life? What do I want different? What am I not happy with? You know, what is not causing increase in my life? What are the things that I want to have? Once you answer those questions, then you can start doing your research and your homework on what you need to do in order to obtain that. And it starts with spending time with God and asking him, okay, all right, this, what should I do? Give me wisdom. Give me guidance so that I can get there. Whatever it is, you know, I want my financial situation to be different. Okay. If that's the case, you got to be a giver. But on top of being a giver, you also got to learn how to manage your money right. It's the two-winged bird that I call it. When you honor God with your giving, then he can get involved and he can help you stretch your money to go further than it would had you not given. Then you got to learn how to manage your money right, because even if you got more money in your hand and you don't manage it right, you're gonna lose it. So it takes both things, right? You got to see, again, we work together with God. God's never going to give you more money if you are a poor manager of it. If every time it gets in your hand, it's gone, he's not going to give you more money to blow. God is a wise investor. We learn that from the parable of the talents, right? We want to say talents is, you know, or the parable of the talents, you know, the gifts, you know, like tap dancing or singing or something like that. Those talents, it was money that he gave them. And, you know, he gave one talent. To another, he gave two. To another, he gave five. But this is money he was giving them. And the one with five, he went out, he invested it. And he got a return. He got five back. And then the one that had two, he invested it. He got two more back. He got four now. The one that had one, he buried it. And he said, you know, I know you are a hard man. You know, you reap where you don't sow and saw that stuff, the other stuff, you know, he was saying about him. He had a poor perception of his master. And he says, so I hid it. And this is Jesus talking. He says, you wicked servant. He said, you could have at least put my money in a bank so that I could get a little interest on it. He says, now take that one that he has and listen to this. Give it to the one that has 10. And he says, but master, he already has 10. He says, but to whom who has more shall be given. In other words, he who has the ability to manage more will have more. But he that doesn't, what he has even will be taken from him. God is a wise investor. He don't play no games. God says, I want fruit. I want to see fruit in your life. I want productivity. I want production. And if I'm not seeing it, he says, I'm cutting it down. All right. Like I said, I'm going to be hammering this thing in for the next 4 weeks. Get ready. Get ready. Because I believe God's going, he's going to really speak to us as we get ready to go into the new year. So this is part one. Part two, three, four are coming. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord. We're about to get ready to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. God, I know that this is a word from you. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that your people take this very seriously. Because we're about to enter into a new year, and I believe that you're about to do a new thing. And we got to be ready for it. We got to have our minds ready. We got to make sure that we are thinking the right way, that we're speaking the right way, that we're doing the right things, so that we could be a part of what you're about to do. I believe that this can be the greatest year that some people have ever experienced in their life. I truly believe that. But unfortunately, for some people, it won't, because they will not listen to this and heed it and do what you're telling them to do right now. We all need to take inventory on our lives and start thinking about what it is that we need to have changed in our lives for us to get better and for us to go further. For those people that will take this seriously and begin to really do that evaluation, and they begin to put things in practice and in motion and start doing different things, they're going to see the greatest share, I believe, that they've ever seen. But those that just kind of just, you know, throw this to the side and and don't make those changes in their life, they're going to continue to get those things that they've been getting. And Father, I'm believing for all of our people to go to the next level. I release on our people that they are good ground, that this word will not be something that they will just throw and toss away, but that this word will bring forth a harvest in their life, and that this upcoming year will be the greatest year that they've ever had or experienced. And Father, I just want to say thank you. We bless you. We give you glory, praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now look, if you're here today, you're watching online, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus, and you want to do that today, I want to pray for you as we get ready to close. Wherever you are, that's how we get. You want to make a change? That's how you begin. You begin to change your life for the better by giving up darkness and coming into his marvelous light. So if that's you and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're backslidden and you know you are and you just want to get it right with God again, that's the first change that you need to make. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And we'll all just, we're a family. We're going to all pray this together. If you're here, you can stand up. If you're watching online, stand up. We're all going to be praying with you. And I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead to make me right with God. Now, Heavenly Father, I accept your son, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just give Jesus a praise. Amen. 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 To God be the glory. Amen. 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 All right, as we get ready to close here, we're going to worship God with tithes, with offerings, special giving. Like I said, you want to make a change in your finances and you haven't been honoring God with your tithes and your offerings, you need to start tithing. You need to start honoring God. You know, then you can get God involved in your finances. I have these offering envelopes right here. You know, we have our regular tithes and offering envelopes in the front of your chairs. This is for a special seed. You know, this is our get ready for a double portion blessing seed. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe that God's going to give you a double portion in this upcoming year. This whole year, September to September, is our year, right? From our anniversary to anniversary. And God spoke to us and said that he's going to give us a double portion. I'm believing that everything that we have in life is going to double. In Jesus' name, everything. And so if you want to show that special seed, you can take one of these today or the rest of this week. Sow it before the new year. And believe God to enter into the new year right. See, how you end things is how you begin things. So this is a miracle offering seed. Your tithes and offering envelopes are on the front of your chairs, or the back of the chairs, rather. You know, you want to give a check. You can write a check to the Love of Jesus. You can give on your debit card. You can use our Cash App at @LOJNN. You can also use our Givelify at Love of Jesus of North Newark. And then also you can use our Zelle at LOJNorthNewark@gmail.com. But if you want one of these, raise your hands. I'll come around and I'll give you one. I'll touch and agree with you for a miracle. But I'm believing God that a double portion is going to come on people for these. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Also, one more thing I'll mention. Our toy giveaway is coming up. It's on December 22nd. Now, I know the minister Eben said that you got till next Sunday. You don't. You got till Thursday to put your kids down. Because my wife and I are going shopping for Christmas gifts on Friday. So we need to have those names in by Thursday at the latest. So you can go online, www.lojnorthnewark.org, and you can put in your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. We're going to be going shopping for them, so make sure that you put them down. We're going to have the service December 22nd at 7 p.m. And if you want to give towards that, you can help us out, because again, we're going to go shopping Friday. But our Givelify is GJT, Community Development Corporation. You can download the app. Our Cash App is GJTCDC, and you can give that way to give towards the toys, you know, because we're going to buy a bunch of toys for the kids, and you can do that. All right? Amen. So let's go ahead and worship God with tithes and with offerings. You know, we're getting ready for our New Year's Eve service right after the Christmas one. Crazy. Can you believe that we have Christmas Day is on Sunday, and then we have our New Year's Eve service, and then New Year's Day is on Sunday? My God, man. That crazy or what? I'm locking the doors New Year's Eve. Nobody's getting out. And we'll just lay out on the floor, and then, you know, Sunday morning we'll have service. Right after this, I want to meet with our leaders to talk about our Christmas event, because we got to start getting ready. Take it. Amen. Right after service, I want to meet with our people. Oh, thank you. You gonna put your offering? You gonna keep your offering? Stretch forth your hands. My grandbaby. Stretch forth your hands to this offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for everybody that gave to this offering today. Father, bless your people. Open up for them the windows of heaven. Pour them out blessings that they don't even have room enough to receive. Shower them with the blessings and favor of God. Give them more than enough where there is no lack. I pray, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that your good hand of favor and blessing come upon them, that you will cause them to be successful in every area of their life. And Father, for we thank you and bless you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, everybody, stand up on your feet. Let me bless you as we get ready to leave. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious and merciful and kind to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his holy peace in Jesus' matchless name. Or anybody say, I'm blessed and I can't be cursed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord bless you. I love you. Have a great rest of your day. Thursday night, we have Let's Talk with Pastor Gavin Taylor. Make sure you tune in at 5 p.m. I love you. Bless you. My wife loves you. And we will see you soon. Bless you. Play the soundtrack. If you see someone in need, meet them where they at. If you see someone that's hurt, hit them where they at. If you ever see a problem, home, solve it with this fact. If the Father put you through it, trust me, gonna have your back. If you see someone in need, meet them where they at. If you see someone that's hurt, hit them where they at. If you ever see a problem, home, with this fact. If the Father put you through it, trust me, he gon' have some facts. Come fellowship with us at the Love of Jesus Church of North Newark, led by Pastors Gavin and Tanya Taylor, where our mission is to find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it, find a problem and solve it.